Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. September 29th is the fixed date for the feast of St. Michael and All Angels, and maybe not something in the Lutheran Church we're accustomed to observing and celebrating feast days. Well, we celebrate the feast of Easter, the feast of Epiphany, but the feast of St. Michael and All Angels, I've never preached on this feast, but today's September 29th, and I think it's a pretty neat thing to talk about, to realize how our God, who is bigger than we can understand, created all things, and we just confess this. We're going to cover this in the first year confirmation class in a little bit this morning about the creation. But our God created all things, and we say in the Nicene Creed, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, the maker of all things, both visible and invisible. Generally, angels are invisible. They're spiritual creatures, and yet they're all around. Maybe there are a couple angels up on top of the sanctuary right now, guarding and protecting us against demons who want to come in and get us. Or maybe there's a little winged angel going with Chad Belshner right now, wherever he's going, to protect him. Not to draw attention to Chad. See, there are cultural depictions of angels. You take some 20th century depictions of angels, whether you have the black and white classic movie, It's a Wonderful Life, where Clarence is an AS2. Is that what he is? Angel second class or second class angel? I don't know. But every time a bell rings, ring a bell, play the Zimbalstern, angel gets its wings. Well, we probably shouldn't base our theology primarily on It's a Wonderful Life. Or maybe you remember, maybe your favorite angel was Michael Landon, not from Little House on the Prairie or Bonanza. Was he in Bonanza? But from the movie Highway to Heaven, where he and his buddy with a beard and curly hair were angels that would help people out. Or maybe John Travolta is your favorite angel, not from Saturday Night Fever, but from the movie Michael. There are all these depictions of angels, but what is an angel? Well, the name Angelos, it means messenger. Angels are messengers. They're God's messengers. They carry out what God sends them to do. They are perfected in holiness. They are perfectly obedient. They are not human beings. They're stronger than human beings, but they're lower than human beings. They're not the pinnacle of God's creation, not the last thing created on the sixth day. So one thing we could dispel right now, when you die, you're not going to become an angel. You don't get wings in that sense. Angels are different than human beings. They're spiritual creatures. God delights in creating things and gives all things names. And the angels, there are different types of angels. The Bible talks about cherubim and seraphim. And seraphim do have six wings. Two to cover their face, two to cover their body, two to cover their feet because of the holiness of God. We hear that in Isaiah 6 at Isaiah's call. We have the cherubim. We have archangels. Two of them are named Gabriel, God is strength, or Michael, which means who is like God. The two archangels, if you go into the Apocrypha, those books between the Old and New Testament, there are two other archangels named Raphael and Uriel. But there are angels out there more than we could count. We can't see them unless they make themselves known or show themselves in a way that we can perceive. Now, they're often depicted as having wings. Now, the artists have chosen to depict them with wings in this sense often because they move very swiftly. In order to keep up with Chad Belshner, wherever he's going, got to move swiftly. He's coming back already. Here comes his angel. When you're going 80 miles an hour down 5 points, your angel has got to keep up with you, right? Angels are depicted as having wings also because those wings, and maybe you think of the scriptures talk about Jesus says a mother hen would protect her chicks, that angels use those wings for protection, especially protecting little children. But angels are also powerful, more powerful than we can imagine. They have powers beyond our reach, can do things that human beings couldn't fathom. So we know that when Adam and Eve are cast out of the Garden of Eden, and there's an angel there with a flaming sword. We know that in Exodus and the Passover that the angel of death comes and kills all the firstborn, not only male children that are not marked with the blood of the lamb, but also male livestock. We know that in the Old Testament there's one angel that kills 185,000 soldiers in the army of Sennacherib. Angels are powerful. But today, this feast is named the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels. Michael, as I said, is one of the two named angels in the Scriptures. Michael is known as the guardian and protector of God's people, who will come especially to our aid at the end of time, on the last day. We have that image that Pastor Luke read from Daniel chapter 12 is that last day image. But also in Jude 1 verse 9, it talks about St. Michael protecting Moses' body when Satan tries to steal it, and he rebukes Satan. St. Michael the protector. We get this picture in Daniel chapter 10, though, of St. Michael and what he does. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. There's an angel there, a powerful creature, because often when human beings encounter the angels, they are afraid because they have a power and a glory that humans can't take in. And the angel said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling, because God hears our prayers, the cries of his people, and sends his messengers to do his work, and the angel comes. And then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. And then he says this, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. See, the angels are powerful creatures. And before the creation is over, God creates the angels, but some of the angels rebel. Lucifer, the light bearer, is one who rebels and brings some of the angels with him. They're fallen angels, they're demons. And they come and they move about the earth. And it is thought that some of these angels, these fallen angels, these demons are spiritual leaders. And especially in places like pagan countries, they gain influence over people. And in this case, in Daniel chapter 10, when Daniel's there, a powerful demon stationed over Persia. And this angel messenger seeks to get to Daniel but can't get there, and then calls upon, and St. Michael, the archangel, comes in and fights his way through 21 days this battle and finally gets to Daniel. Martin Luther says that good angels do battle with evil angels, especially in the defense of men, of human beings. Angels are all around, and generally we can't see them, but they're doing things that protect us and keep us safe as God's people. But angels, as the title says, angels are all about Jesus. That also is a takeoff when I can't think of a sermon title. It's still all about Jesus, part 117, whatever number of sermons I've had here at St. John. But angels are all about Jesus. Well, Jesus is the one who comes, and through his death and resurrection, he brings peace. Peace between God and us, peace among the body of Christ assembled in this place through his death and resurrection. And Lucifer, well, Satan, the devil, and the fallen angels can't stand that. And they come and they want to sever or separate the peace that we have with God. In the book of Job, we hear about how Satan is able to move freely between earth and heaven. In Job 1 verse 7, it says, the Lord said to Satan, from where have you come? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it. That somehow, at one point, Satan was able to move between earth and heaven freely, and Satan would be able to interact with God. We see this in Job, where he says, I think that your servant Job only worships you because you bless him, but what if everything was taken away? And God says, go ahead and do it, but you can't harm Job. You can't take his life. That Satan is able to do this freely until Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, was crucified, was raised on the third day, and ascended into heaven. Because when Christ is ascended into heaven, he is the one who's taken our guilt and our shame, who's taken everything on himself, and Satan can no longer accuse us. See, that's what his name means, Satan or the devil. It means the accuser or the false accuser. See, that Satan wants himself, not Christ, to represent you and me before God's throne. See, Satan would be there and constantly say, you see that one, God? That one's no good. Doesn't love you. You see that one over there? Continues to sin. The same sin again and again and again. She's no good. You see, God, that one? That one's no good. You messed up there. Satan would love to be there constantly accusing. But we see a picture, and Jesus foreshadows this, and as it maybe is happening just almost in real time. In Luke chapter 10, it says, the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And that Satan is going to be cast out of heaven, and he was. See, Christ's ascension, Christ is there. Satan is no longer there. No longer seeking to represent you and me. But he's cast out of heaven, but he still has reign on earth. See, at the end of Revelation chapter 12, well, in Revelation 12, it says, this war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. They're cast out, and the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who's called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels, the demons, were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ has come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. He accuses them day and night before our God. He's cast out. And they've conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. But Satan knows early on that he wants to thwart Christ the Savior. Genesis 3, where there is a curse, but also a promise that one will come who will crush Satan's head. And so Satan tries at each point in Jesus' life to try to derail this. We see the angels there at these key moments in Jesus' life. At Jesus' incarnation, the angels come and announce to the shepherds, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. The angels are there and they're ministering to Jesus after his temptation in the wilderness, and Jesus withstands and lives by the word of his Father. The angels minister to him. This window doesn't show it, but Jesus praying in the garden at Gethsemane in Luke 22, an angel appears to him and strengthens him. The angels are there at Jesus' resurrection. The angels are there at Jesus' ascension and says, why are you looking up into heaven? Christ has gone away, but you're not left alone. The angels are there at these key moments. And at the second coming, we hear the loud trumpet and the voice of an archangel. You see, since Christ's death and resurrection, ascension and reigning until he returns, the devil can no longer bring any accusations against you and me. It starts to make more sense to me than what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8. He says, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us, because Satan can no longer go before the throne of God and accuse you and me and all the saints. Satan is cast out of heaven. And they've conquered Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by his word, the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. But Satan, he's cast out of heaven. But it says in Revelation 12:12, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows his time is short. So Satan is now at work here, still on the earth, chained, cannot kill you, but wants to accuse your conscience. John Kleinig says that nothing darkens hearts, the hearts of man, like a bad conscience. A conscience that either is not calibrated rightly or cannot be cleansed rightly. And so Satan is there always accusing, you're not good enough, you can't do it right, you might as well give up, why don't you try something new? Always, always accusing. So you sang it this morning because you know the answer, right? The answer is always Jesus. The amen to all of God's promises. We sang it this morning Sin disturbed my soul no longer. I'm baptized into Christ. I have comfort even stronger. Jesus' cleansing sacrifice. Should a guilty conscience seize me, since my baptism did release me. In a dear forgiving flood, sprinkling me with Jesus' blood. And then right here in verse 3, of God's own child, I gladly say it. Satan, hear this proclamation. I am baptized into Christ. Drop your ugly accusation. I'm not so soon enticed. Now that to the font I've traveled, all your might has come unraveled, and against your tyranny, God my Lord unites with me. Martin Luther sings about this, or writes about this, in the great hymn of the Reformation, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, when he says, one little word can fell Satan. And the word is Jesus. Jesus. See, Satan, you can accuse me all you want, and it's right, I am a poor, miserable sinner, but Jesus, my Savior, has come and paid the price. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and my testimony, my hope is in Him, and so is yours. And so in the end of Romans 8, St. Paul says, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we thank our God and Father, the Creator of all things visible and invisible, that He takes care of us, that He delights in His creatures, that He sends angels who are perfectly obedient, confirmed in their holiness to take care of us. As one theologian says, that angels are our co-workers in God's kingdom, ministering to us. The angels rejoice, Jesus says in Luke's gospel, over one sinner who repents. The angels are here worshiping with us, and the liturgy brings this out already when we sang the Gloria this morning, the song of the angels at the Incarnation, when we sing the Sanctus, holy, 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 we sing the song with the angels, we prepare as we come before this altar, as we rejoice with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, those angels that are up on the roof, the angel that goes with Chad Belschner wherever he goes, your angel too, the angels that sing with us. In talking with Pam Johnson, planning for this service, she said, you know, sometimes you just get a taste in a worship service. And maybe it's, she had mentioned singing the Te Deum, the Stephen Starkey version of the Te Deum. And you get the brass in there, and you hear the choir and the descant. And maybe, just maybe you hear the angels. The angels that are with us. The angels that protect us, the angels that are all about Jesus, because our worship, our hope, and so is the angels, is in Jesus our Savior. And so we worship with them, we celebrate with them. We rejoice because we're covered with the blood of the Lamb who is slain, but who is risen, who reigns, and who will return. What an awesome thing to know and trust that our God gives wonderful creatures like angels to take care of us and worship with us. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Amen.